fellow veterans and friends of veterans, this is a wake-up call. Welcome to Veterans Revolution Radio. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in downtown Los Angeles. We're at the Beast of the Belly with the largest homeless population in the nation, many of them veterans. Make no mistake, we are in a state of emergency here. Los Angeles has nearly 20,000 homeless veterans. We have the largest VA in the nation. Over 400 acres of land that was deeded specifically in 1888 to be permanently maintained as a national home for disabled soldiers. Well, it worked at one time. When it was first built, there was nothing here in that area there in West L.A. And as the city built up and around, that land became very, very valuable. They built the Wilshire Boulevard right through the middle of it. Then came the Sepulveda Boulevard, which divided it again, and then the 405 freeway. And they started doling out the property. They gave away 60 acres to the GSA, General Services Administration, for a federal building, which is known as the FBI building there on Wilshire Boulevard. Of that 60 acres, 38, I think it is, no, it was 32, went to the community of Westwood, 28 went to the GSA, and the community of Westwood got a public park. There's a little sliver of land that ended up as Little League baseball diamonds. As you go around that property, it's just simply stunning what has happened. UCLA has a baseball diamond there. They have 10 acres. They pay $5,000 a month. Apartments go for that over in the community in Westwood. $5,000, their baseball coach makes about $100,000 a month. So you see where their interest and priority is taking care of the coach, but not veterans' land. They shouldn't be on there in the first place. But it's a deal that was cut by Senator Feinstein's husband, Mr. Blum. He's the on the board of supervisors, or the board of regents, it's called, for the University of California universities, and he's also the CEO of one of the largest real estate firms in the nation. And I can assure you, if you were to engage any of his people for a real estate deal, you'd be paying top dollar. This is not even bottom. This is sharecroppers that pay you more than what we're getting on that property. And then you go over to the Brentwood School, the wealthiest private schools in the nation. And it's about $30,000 a year tuition for the children to go there. That's fine. Nice school. But they've got 21 acres of land that belongs to our veterans. It's an athletic complex. And it's off limits to veterans. There's a group called Richmark Entertainment Group that has a special deal to run the two theaters. You've got a public golf course on there. It's run by Ricardo Bandini-Johnson, who amazingly is a descendant of Arcadia de Baker, who gave the land. Well, nobody can figure that one out. He's operating contrary to what the gift was all about. But here's an amazing one. You know, we keep hearing about Mayor Garcetti. Now, he is a veteran. So back last year, Michelle Obama came out and talked about the homeless problem out here. And, of course, President Obama had made the promise to end veteran homelessness, that we filed a lawsuit against the VA And his administration fought that lawsuit, and it was for the misuse of all that property. But anyway, Michelle came out, and she said, it's a moral outrage, this homeless situation. And she's absolutely right. But it's a bigger moral outrage not to do something about it and to allow this land to keep going. But the city of Los Angeles has 12 acres of veterans' property. 12. They don't even have an agreement. They don't pay rent. They've got a public dog park on this land. They got baseball diamonds. Again, we've got 20,000 homeless veterans, and they refused to do anything about it. As indicated, we, through the ACLU, we were able to get a lawsuit and won a judgment that there are 9 illegal contracts there. 9. And they appealed, the VA, the Obama administration appealed it, along with UCLA and Brentwood School jumped in, and a bunch of powerful attorneys, a lot of money behind it. And we thought we were going pretty good on that, and then the new Secretary McDonald came out and had a press conference. But before he came out, he wheeled and dealed behind closed doors with his friends, Ron Olson, an attorney who's one of the co-counsels on our side, supposedly, and Bobby Shriver, his friend, Bobby Shriver. We'll talk about him later. But he certainly is not an ally of veterans. He's very tight with all the money crowd. And anyway, they decided that they just vacate that judgment. They made a deal behind closed doors to vacate the judgment, and with a lot of promises. Then they sent out some VA officials, and I had been in meetings with them. Sounded encouraging, but every day it goes by, it gets worse. Gets worse. They just talk. They're just pulling deals right and left, and they make their deals, and then they come and tell you. They don't include you in the deals that are and what's being discussed. Now, we had, back in January, Rayford Johnson, the great Olympic decathlon champion, had a, he had marched with Dr. King, Bobby Kennedy. He was with him when he was assassinated. He actually helped wrestle the gun away from Sirhan Sirhan. But Rayford had marched with Cesar Chavez. He's always been there for the civil rights, human rights, and he's just this upstanding individual. Rafe will be 80 this summer, but you never know it. He just looks as good as he did when he was the Olympic decathlon champion in 1960. But he spoke before the Los Angeles Neighborhood Council Coalition. It's made up of 96 neighborhoods throughout the city of Los Angeles. And back on January 3rd, he gave a very compelling speech and said that Los Angeles is in a state of emergency, and that we needed to have a crisis humanitarian relief project on the VA grounds. And he called for the VA and the city of Los Angeles, again with the mayor, to unify. And they got a unanimous vote for that. Now think about it, 96 neighborhood community councils throughout Los Angeles represent some 4 million residents in Los Angeles voted that we were in a state of emergency. And I can assure you that it's not just fallen on deaf ears. They don't even want to entertain it. They don't want to even consider that this is a state of emergency. But consider yourselves, let's say you were homeless on the streets, back alley squalor of Los Angeles. And you, would you consider that to be a state of emergency? I think every one of us would. And, you know, most of us have been brought up to believe in the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So if you were homeless and you would consider it a state of emergency, wouldn't you want your fellow citizens to be crying out on your behalf? I think so. I know I would. So here we have our residents on our behalf of the homeless veterans who've declared a state of emergency and have called on the VA and the city to unify. The mayor has not responded to it. The city council has not responded. The secretary of the VA has not responded to it. Nobody. Nobody. And while I've had these meetings with these VA officials, and it's always first thing I bring up, and they dodge it like you cannot believe. They do not want to discuss it. Well, today had an interesting situation. I attended the, it's called the Los Angeles Veterans Advisory Commission, their monthly meeting. There are, in the Los Angeles County, there are five supervisors, and they represent some 10 million residents. And they have a council that meets, and I went in today to talk with them about joining this and the neighborhood council. And what was interesting, the newly elected, hardly newly elected, this is an amazing situation itself. He's only been there 1 year, missed half the meetings. And the retired General Wong wanted him to be the next chairman, and she finagled to have him elected, I guess. I've never seen it done the way it was. His name is Dave, and I cannot pronounce it. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I think it's H-W-A-G-N-D-B-O. But during the public comment, I was able to speak, and I asked for their support on a motion to join in that, and to, along with Rafer and the city, to unify, and I can't wait to get the recording of this. They'll probably snuff it out somehow, because he immediately challenged me, not even challenged, he just said, well, this is probably not something, he said, it's out of our jurisdiction, we're county and that's federal. Well, he's full of it, because they've always been an alliance, and they're responsible. Each one of the commissioners have their five different districts, and each one of them had veterans and were responsible for them. Anyway, he said he didn't want to get involved with it until, listen to this one, we learn what causes veteran homelessness. This is simply stunning. He doesn't want to do anything until we learn. How do each case is independently different? I know. I work with homeless veterans. There are no two alike. There are no two reasons. There's nothing. But here you have an individual responsible to be the spokesperson for approximately 365,000 veterans in the county of Los Angeles. But this is the kind of things that we're dealing with. Very incompetent people, cowardly people, and just... you can go on forever on it, but I want to catch in on a phone call coming in here. And are you there, Bill?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, listeners...
I can hardly hear you.
Oh, well, I'm going to start shouting. You know, it's...
I have hearing aids, and I hear you, but it's not... clear.
Okay.
So I just wanted to let you know, if you could speak up or something, it would be great.
All right. I'll try real hard there, Bill. Bill is a good friend of mine. I've known him for a while. He's a World War II veteran. 89
yes.
years.
I was served from 43 to 46. I'll be 90 years old this year.
God bless you, my man. And I will also inject that you are 90% blind. Is that right, Bill?
I'm sorry. What was that again?
You're 90% blind?
No. Well, I stopped driving in 2006. I have glaucoma in the right eye and macular in the left.
Okay. But you have it's serious, you know, problems, I know, because I've talked with you on this, but I want you to share with our listeners what you have to go through. You have your own doctor, and all you want is VA medication through their pharmacy. And tell us.
Today, you know, when I started with the VA, not to, I don't know how you want to handle it. When I started with the VA, I only had one doctor in my life. Today, I have five doctors taking care of me. I have ophthalmologist, I have a retina doctor, I have a pulmonary, I have a cardiologist, and I have an intern. And I'm on medication. I'm on seven medications. And what I'm going through to get these medications is a joke.
That's a sad one, Bill.
I have to come in, and this is what bothers me. Why do they want blood work before they talk to me? I don't see their doctors. I have my own doc. I keep explaining the people that I see. What do they call? She's not a doctor. She's, you know, not a physician. She's the one who goes over my medications. She's not a doctor. And the next thing I knew, last year, they stuck me in the eye clinic. I don't need the eye clinic. I just need the medication.
That's right. I know. I talked with you on this.
And it's so frustrating.
Well,
right now, I got real lucky. I told Bob, thank God for Bob. Bob is not, they're not recognizing what Bob is doing for us. I mean, he's spent so much time. I know he's been on that corner of Wilshire and San Vicente for 7 years, and he gets in trouble for speaking the truth. And thank God he didn't go to jail. They were trying to put him away. I don't know if you're aware of that. That really is low on our part, our government. And all I want is my medications. You know, you go to CVS, the doctor gives you a prescription, you go to CVS, they look at it, and they fill it. When I have to go, I have to have blood work first, and then I come back another day and go through the routine over my medications. And she's not a doctor, but she tells me I'm her primary. I'm her primary. And how the hell did she get me started with the eye clinic? And I won't let that doctor touch me. But I get the medication. But to get the medication, I have to see the doctor.
Well,
what do? I sit down with the doctor. I don't let him touch me. He punches a computer and okays my prescription for another year.
But so they put,
there's a lot.
They put
lot
you through
to be
a lot
said here.
Yeah, they put you through an awful lot there. As you indicated, if you go to CVS pharmacy, they don't. Like you said, they don't take your blood test. Nothing.
I just give them the piece of paper whatever the doctor wrote on it, and I get my medic. I wait for my medication to be filled, and I'm on my way.
Absolutely.
You go to the VA. For God's sake, they want blood first. What are they doing with what do they need the lab work for? I don't see those doctors.
Yeah.
Well, so you know that's.
But I want to just inject something here to our listeners that Bill will be 90 years old, a World War II veteran. If they're treating our World War II veterans who are at that age going into 90, do not have the respect or the decorum to treat them. Guess what they're doing to the others who they really don't care, because they're supposed to be looking out for a World War II veterans.
Give me a break.
Yep. Now they're looking out for you, and they're keeping you away, I think, is what they're doing.
Well, and then on one of my medications, I try to tell them they changed the pricing. You know, you know, when we first started off, it was $7, then $8, $9. That's fine. I don't mind that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand. It's a copay, and it's so reasonable. But the eye clinic, would you believe he's counting the drops that are coming out of the unit?
Mm.
So instead of getting three units, those three bottles, for 90 days, I'm getting two bottles for the same price for 90 days.
So instead of
are you
three,
following what I'm saying?
Yeah, instead of like three drops, you're only getting two, because that's essentially what they're doing.
And they say, well, you talk to billing. When I talk to billing says talk to the pharmacy, and pharmacy says, well, you better talk to the eye clinic. I mean, I go in circles. I can't get a straight answer.
You know, this is very, very troubling, because like I said, here you are at, you know, almost 90, and these things should not be a concern of yours. They should be taken care of with the least amount of problems. But they are have essentially created problems for you, totally unnecessary. And it's, you know, I just appreciate you calling in and sharing this with us, because I hope the listeners understand.
You know, a year ago, as I rudely cut you off, a year ago, I asked Bob, would you take me to the VA? I want you to see what I'm going through. Yeah. He picked me up and took me to the VA. We went to the eye clinic, and he saw what went on. And then we went to the other to get my God, what the hell do they call? She's not a doctor, but she says, I'm your primary, whatever.
She's not a nurse.
And it's so frustrating that what about the other veterans, what they're going through, for God's sake?
This is what I'm saying. You know, if they do that to you, a World War II veteran, they certainly are not showing any respect for our younger veterans or any. It's extremely, extremely troubling that our government is doing this to any veteran. And when I hear this from somebody of Bill's stature here, who will be 90 and has serious eye problems, and yet he has a doctor who prescribes for him, and he just wants to get the medication because it is less expensive going through the VA.
The last thing I had that started last year was a kicker. You know, I have COP or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar?
Lightly, yeah.
You know, my lung.
I'm
on two different medications. And in order to get it, I brought the slip in. Bob was with me. But you know what she wanted from my doctor? The history. I mean, she wanted a report from my. Thank God my doctor didn't argue anything. He sent the whole report in about my health and what was going on. And then they gave me the medications. And every 30 days, I have to refill it. It's not 90 days. It's for 6 months. But I got to tell you, I got real lucky here just recently. When I was calling back and forth on my medications, the pharmacy says, look, I can renew this for you. I says, you can do it. Go, man, go. In other words, I canceled my appointment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I canceled my appointment. Why? I don't need, it's so frustrating.
You know, Bella, this is...
Can you imagine what the others are going through?
This is what I say. It's very frustrating to hear your the problems. I can't imagine what it must be to experience the problem. It's bad enough to hear this. And I just think that we the people have to start standing up and speaking out. And you know, there's been such a... bad issues with the VA, and they're supposed to be cleaning it up, but it certainly doesn't sound like they're doing it with your problems, and they're making your problems because it seems like they're rather simplified through your doctor, but they want to make you pay for that discount, I guess, one way or the other. It's the way it sounds, doesn't it?
Well, she's my provider, pardon me. I was trying to find the right word. She's my provider. My provider. And what are they doing with my blood?
Well, I don't know.
What's the lab work doing with, you know, she punches the computer. Oh, everything looks fine. Oh, and another funny thing came up a while ago, more than a year ago. I was on, not thyroid, I was on cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
And my cholesterol, it was so good. I mean, it got better and better, and my doctor decided to take me off the cholesterol. So I told my provider, I don't need the cholesterol. She says, what do you mean you don't need it? I says, my doctor took me off of it. She says, well, maybe you should be on a lighter dose. Have your doctor call me. And I said, forget it.
Yeah.
My doctor's going to call her and discuss my medical?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Who? Well, anyway, I don't know what else to tell you.
It's good to hear, though, because you're sending out a very strong message, and I hope our listeners are getting in touch with this and realizing that when a World War II veteran is being treated this way.
Well, they say things are better. Thank God. I hope that what I have today, meaning hopefully I can just call up the VA pharmacy and order my stuff now.
Yeah.
I don't have to go through this whatever.
Well,
and I must tell you, this Bob Rosenbrock has gone so far, so much of his time. He is so, so caring for the veterans. And I just hope they recognize him. Someone has got to recognize this man. He spends a lot of time, and I know this, and I see it, and I hear it. I've known him for years, and I watch every Sunday he's on that corner with veterans with a sign holding up. And there's no one more interested in seeing the veterans get their care.
Well, thank you.
But anyway, I don't know what else to tell you. I had a whole list here I was going to go, but I'm not going to bend your ear on this. But it's just, I don't see it better. At least I don't.
Well,
and this thing with my trying to renew my medication, I don't know if I'm off the hook yet. I'm lucky. Oh, and then I one of my medications I received in March, the inhaler. I need two medications for my inhaler. Two different medications, and I got my one of my refills, both refills, the end of March, and here comes April this week, and I get another refills. I mean, who's seeing what's going on?
Yeah.
And one time when I said, hey, let me order, and when I did that, I screwed myself up good. When I called up and placed my order at the pharmacy, and it didn't come, you know, usually comes in about 7-8 days, and it didn't come. So when I called up to find out, and I says, where's my medication? They says, well, we need someone to okay it. I says, what do you mean to okay it? Well, that's the way it is. What I did is I screwed myself up calling to say, let me order it. Mm-hmm. Let me call for my medications. I don't think they know what the left hand is doing with the right hand or right hand doing with the left.
Right.
But we are so lucky to have Bob Rosenbrock in our corner. And he has gone out of his way to see what he can do. I thought once they were going to put him in jail. It scared the hell out of me. You know, he got in trouble for flying our flag upside down on that corner. give me a break.
That was the right message, because the life and property are in danger. And
I appreciate you letting me.
Well, thank you for sharing.
About this. They're so, I could go on and on.
Well, one
on
of these
this,
days, we'll keep having you on here. We're going to get this straightened around for you, Bill, because this is simply wrong, and we're going to make it right for you. And God bless you.
What are the other veterans going through?
Boy, I don't know. You know, it is. It's bad all the way around, and I just think it's like programs like this, because you'll never get this kind of information on the general media.
Oh, you know, another thing, too. God, everything comes to mind. You know, when you arrive to see, and before you get in, you see somebody who's going to take your blood pressure first, and weighs you and ask how you feeling, and then you get in to see the organizer, the primary care, whatever she calls
herself. Your provider.
But oh God, I mean, and the lab work. I know I'm repeating myself over
That's
and
all
over,
right.
but I got to tell you, what do they do with the blood?
Don't know.
I mean, I don't see their doctors.
Yeah. They don't give you any results or anything. Well, you know, please stay in touch with us. I'm glad you shared this, and I hope our listeners are beginning to get an understanding.
Well, I hope, and I'll say it again, I just hope that someone will recognize Bob Rosbrock. He's a good man, and he's there for the veterans. You better believe this. And I thank everybody, and good health to all of you. Stay well.
Okay.
Without good health, we have nothing.
You bet. Well, God bless.
Thank you very much for letting me bend your ear.
You're quite welcome, Bill. And God bless you, and thank you for your service to our country. You stay well, my friend.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. Well, fellow veterans, friends of veterans, you just heard where to even begin. Bill will be 90 years old. And he's serious eye problems. He has his own doctor. And all he wants is to be able to get the medication, which I understand would be a lot cheaper through the VA. But they insist on putting him through all of this in spite of his doctor. And again, at that age in life, we should be making things as easy as possible and grateful for him, but not with our VA, not with our government. So, well, I think it makes sense if you we're talking just prior to Bill's calling in, that all this land, they're doing everything with land and here and there, but think about it. They can't even take care of a 90-year-old World War II veteran. And we have tens of thousands of disabled, homeless veterans who are living in back alley squalor, and they're living right down here in Skid Row. And there's nobody helping them. As I was saying earlier, I was there before the Los Angeles County Veterans Advisory Commission, and the new chairman didn't want to do anything. He didn't even consider this. I don't know his age. He's probably about 40 years old. And the reason I say that, one of the issues that I had brought up was that the back at the fall of Saigon 40 years ago, 1975, the United States brought in over 50,000 refugees down, Vietnamese refugees, down at Camp Pendleton. And in less than a week, they set up 1,000 tents. They realized it was a state of emergency. And from churches, synagogues, corporations, you name it, families, everybody got involved and sponsored somebody, one of these families. And they came in with nothing but the clothes on their back, couldn't speak our language, and yet they assimilated into our society. And if you go down into, I guess, Westminster down in Orange County, they call it Little Saigon and all, they just recently, one of our state senators, she talked about, you know, coming in as a small child, as a refugee, and what they went through and everything to struggle. And here she is, a state senator. reached the heights of, you know, success. But here's the kicker to this. Today, by the VA's own admission, nearly half, 47% of all homeless veterans are from the Vietnam War era. Think about that. They went over to fight for these people in their country that was being overrun by the communists. And they come back. The refugees have been taken care of by our nation, and rightfully so, by all means. We have always been a grateful nation to reach out. But we've never reached out to the very men in particular, some women, some nurses and all. At that time, they didn't serve in combat and whatnot. But they paid a big price. And, of course, coming back, I know I served during, in 1965, 67, I was blessed. I served at Schofield Barracks, U.S. Army, Hawaii. And I was, it's the largest Army base there in certainly the Pacific. Everything that went to Vietnam went through U.S. Army, Hawaii there. And I started out and it was in the military police. And then when they moved me over to the provost marshal's office, and I was administrative assistant and driver for the chief of staff of U.S. Army, Hawaii. And what an interesting experience that was, because Colonel Wellams was a World War II and Korean War veteran, and he was just like General Patton. I love the man because he was just no nonsense. And this Schofield Barracks is about 16,000 acres, and everything was just spotless there. It was just such an experience, because I was able, when you're driving and working in the office there, you're seeing things firsthand, how that post is being run and how diligent and everything they are. And I didn't realize until later that I was being prepared, I'd have to say, because when I lived there in Brentwood area next to the VA, I didn't pay much attention. And then I started getting involved. And I looked at that less than 400 acres and just in shambles, a disgrace, disgusting, and everything you could imagine, quite contrary to what I was exposed to in 65, 67 on 16,000 acres. And he wanted me to go to Officers Candidate School, and I didn't want to go because I just could see at that time that the war was not winnable. I heard enough from pretty high up. And when I was getting discharged, he told me, he said, you know, got right in my face about it. He says, let me remind you, a soldier's duty is never done. And I didn't realize the magnitude of that until it is today, because I, like I said, I was blessed. I didn't bear the brunt of the battle. I'm able-bodied and healthy and today, and that's why I stand up and try to fight for those who did. And today, they estimate there are 60,000 Vietnam-era veterans across the United States who are homeless. There were 58,000 that were killed in the war. Think about it. We have more homeless Vietnam War veterans than were killed in that war over 40 years ago. If this isn't one of the most disgusting and disgraceful things, and I brought this up today at that meeting, that about the importance, and I'd have to call him a young man because that's not out of disrespect, but he's probably about 40 years old. Probably wasn't even born before the fall of Saigon. I don't know. But when I hear somebody like Bill who called in, and always when I was in grade school, you know, our principal, our school teachers, our coach, everybody served in World War II, just had the most respect for them. And even with Bill, just, you know, great admiration. And we have Aldo Dupree, 95 years old, that comes to the Sunday rallies. And, but for this individual today to dismiss that we're not in a state of emergency, and he's the head of the Los Angeles County Veterans, You get a very clear picture of why things go on at the VA, because they don't care. They've got this little motto, I care. The first I, you know, it's an acronym, and the I is integrity. They have no integrity over there at the VA. It's just running total disgust. I drove by today, and I saw in front, again, torn, tattered American flags flying right out in front. Nobody looking at it, and I've got a history of taking them to task, and I'm going to do it right tomorrow, going after them, because they just do not care. Now, they fly four American flags in front of the VA. It's from eye view of the hospital, so any patient can look out and see. And they do not take care of their flags because they don't care. But when we hung the flag in distress on the outside for 3 hours, they were out there and quickly with the arrest and removing the flag. It's because the message was that life and property are in danger, and they are in danger, and that's why we play Reveille on here. It's a wake-up call. Every Sunday we're out there. Over 7 years, this coming Sunday will be 368 straight Sundays. We're the old Veterans Guard. I'm the youngster at 73. And we've lost great ones. Steve Palmer, 88. Newt Young, 85. Dick Breithaupt, 85. It's painful to lose them as life goes on because they were so dedicated. Now, you got to think about this. At that age, there's nothing in it for them. But they're doing it for the young generation coming up, because that's always been the American tradition, to leave things better than you found it. Not like this individual today who could not care less that we're the capital for homeless veterans and did not consider the state of emergency. I pity the future of this country with the kind of individuals that are running it like this, because I grew up at a time when those ahead of us, they always took care, they always made things better, and I'm not sure we're doing that, and we have to stay the course and fight against this. I don't even know what to describe it as anymore, but I'm just stunned day after day after day. You could take this situation to a small child, a second grader, and say, we've got this piece of paper here. It says that land right over there, you could take that child over there and say, that land, and it says it's to be permanently maintained as a national home for disabled soldiers. And there's an act of Congress that preceded it, and it specifically outlines that any veteran who is unable to provide them for themselves will be admitted. So it's not only just disabled, but the homeless. And that child will tell you, oh, that's an easy one. You know, those guys that are over there in the alleyway over there, they belong inside. And you say, well, they got a baseball diamond. Oh, no, 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 that's wrong. A small child would tell you this is wrong. We've got adults who, like you said, today was one of the most pathetic actions I've seen. Again, when I have to reflect, well, I grew up on a farm in Indiana, and it was all hard work and nothing to complain. I loved it because I grew up in a great family. Mom, dad, brother, sister, and my grandmother lived with it. We worked. And we had responsibilities. And when you think about taking care of others and as a responsibility that we have, and you're the chairman of this commission that oversees all the veterans, and you do not think that some 20,000 homeless veterans is not an emergency, a state of emergency, when 96 neighborhood councils already said it was? What can you do with that kind of so-called leadership? What do you do with people who fly the American flag, torn and tattered, right outside the hospital where men and women who defended for trying to heal. I said this is a wake-up call because we really need to get our priorities straight because the future generations will never know how great things could be if we don't start taking care of just such basic things as the men and women who defend our country. And if we're at a stage now where a 90-year-old World War II veteran is abused this way, where is the future going? Now, I talked with Aldo Dupree, 95, his wife, Yvonne. I talked with her earlier today, and she's taking him to the cardiologist tomorrow at the VA. And they worry, obviously. And I just, it's so hard to think that at that age, that they are being treated this man in this manner, and they have these things on their mind. Like Bill, think about it. He's worried about the medication, and is he saying the right thing with the doctor? That the VA doesn't want to be offended. We find that with veterans who want to come out and protest with us, and they're afraid. They're afraid that there'll be a retaliation, and I can tell you firsthand, this VA retaliates. I was blocked. I have friends in the VA, and they would send me back an email from their name, and it's va.gov, and it was blocked. They couldn't send it back. It said that I was an abusive sender. So I had asked at that time all the way to Secretary Shinseki, to Secretary McDonald. I said, show me where I'm an abusive sender. They didn't respond. I talked with the Freedom of Information Act, the director of that here at Los Angeles VA, Janelle Happy, and she did a research and said there are no regulations for blocking an email as an abusive sender. Well, when these VA officials came out, they did include me in their meetings, certain ones, certainly not all of them, but a couple of them. And they could not reach me. And one of them was an attorney. And he contacted the Internet Technology Department there. And what I noticed when he sent, because they couldn't reach me, but they sent me a copy showing that they did. And instead of coming back to me, when that individual, the woman, responded, it was going to what it said, abusive.sender@gmail.com. They had a private account. They were intercepting my emails that were being sent back to me and being sent to a private one. Well, as soon as I saw that, I turned around and sent one to that Gmail thing, and it never came back, so I knew it was open and still going. And when we finally flushed her out, then she admitted that, oh, they were doing a test, and somehow my name just happened to be on there. That's an interesting one, since I got a federal judgment against the executive director for violating my constitutional right to free speech to begin with. And then we got a second judgment against the secretary and the executive director for the misuse of veterans' land. But the interesting thing on this abusive sender, that's the kind of way they retaliate. Now, I'm hoping to take some action on it, because my attorney, the ACLU, Peter Eliasberg, I just can't speak highly enough for what he's done for me on hanging the flag in distress. We won the judgment for the VA interfering and violating my free speech, because it sends a different message. There's two messages. When you hang the flag right side up, it is patriotism. When you turn it upside down, it's in the U.S. flag code. It's an international symbol of distress. When life or property are in danger, extreme danger even, you can hang the flag inverted. And that's what we did, and we were absolutely right. And the second lawsuit proved it with the judgment. The property was in danger, and we got 20,000 homeless veterans. But the judge would not allow us to hang the flag back up again. And so that's being appealed all the way to the Supreme Court. And I just got some of the paperwork back on it today as they proceed ahead on it. And I know he's quite swamped. And when I presented him with this abusive sender, you know, obviously he couldn't believe it, but he does. He understands that it's a very serious matter, and don't know if he's going to have the time to then take on another lawsuit against the VA. This is such a waste of time. These are the most malicious people you could imagine who would take a veteran's email, intercept it, and send it to a private account so they can find out what somebody in the VA is trying to say to me. So I hope we get to the bottom of it. But if anybody has any doubts about the VA that retaliates, they do. They do. They are so bad at it. I just wish they'd clean house, get rid of all the riffraff, bring in some veterans. About 80% of the people work over there are not even veterans. Start running the VA with respect and decorum and not putting people into hardship, and to provide property, the property there, to provide housing and care the way the deed states. Because we are in a state of emergency. Life and property are in extreme danger. It's time to hang the flag back up in distress because we accomplished nothing. We got the judgment, and then they turned around and vacated it. Secretary McDonald is nothing but a fraud. He's a fraud. And his friend Bobby Shriver, a fraud. Worthless people should not be involved with what we're doing. But I want to kind of wind up here. I want to thank, first of all, Jeremy Hansen, who's the co-owner of Skid Row Studios. It's just such an honor to be here. Cheyenne, our engineer, they make it so easy. Now, it's interesting how they make my job here easy. And we just heard from Bill, 90 years old, and how bad the VA just trying to get medication. But they are just outstanding. And it's an honor because they appreciate what we're doing. We appreciate what they are. And follow, Skid Row Studios is going to get big. I just know because I know their mission. I know they're out there to expose all that's bad. And we're pleased to be a part of that with Veterans Revolution Radio, the voice of our voiceless veterans. And we also have Martinelli's as our sponsor. Martinelli's was founded 5 years after President Lincoln was assassinated. It was founded in 1868. Same family still runs it. They've been tried to be bought out by Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and everything, and I think they're going on their fourth or fifth generation now. It's so admirable. It's just a quality product. It's their name on there. Henry Ford said, if you put your name on your product, you won't compromise. And they're absolutely right. Martinelli's has got their name. And since 1868, just a super quality product. Drink your apple a day is their slogan. And can't speak highly enough. Like I said, it's nice to be affiliated with Skid Row Studio, with Jeremy and Cheyenne, and when you have Martinelli's, that's why I want to wind this thing up on all the good note, because there's good out there. We have to just keep pushing for it and overcoming all the bad. And join us this Sunday. Will be our 368th consecutive Sunday, and we appreciate it very much. We have good people out there. George Billingsley, a Vietnam War veteran who is 180% disabled, formerly homeless, comes out and joins us. What an honor. These are people that we really admire and respect, and we thanks for this opportunity, and God bless America and the Veterans Revolution.